Remember the pilgrimages of the Middle Ages when people walked for days and months for spiritual and religious reasons? Walking is seriously back in vogue, and according to walker and author Keith Badger, it does still have a spiritual aspect. His book, Joining Loose Ends, tells the story of he and his partner Debbie's five-month footslogging odyssey from the top of Scotland to the bottom of England, and he told Annie Haswell about the life-changing magic of walking.
It plays to that whole theme of pilgrimage. You know, people are going on walks nowadays more and more. I think in part there's a reaction against the materialistic consumer society. As I say to people, we're in this sort of digital diarrhea age, and we need to get a bit of distance to reflect on things, but also to reconnect with all the life that's out there.
And I guess you get a lot of history and a lot of sense of change in the country, especially coming from Scotland down through England. I liked your story about how you had visited the spot where the last wolf had been killed.
That's right. When the last wolf was killed, we knocked out the keystone species and all the environment changed as a result. At the time I saw that plot, it was trivia to me. With my purely corporate, insular mindset, I became aware by halfway down, I kept reflecting, going, I now see why that was important. I now see that we're gradually changing the environment so much by eliminating the wild elements and how we're missing that. I think there's something in our deep inside us that seeks some of the wildness.
And which is, as you say, why people are choosing to walk. What is it, do you think, about walking that changes a person? It's not just about what you see on the way, is it?
It's certainly not about what you see. Somebody, I think a psychologist, had compared walking and what it does to the mind. They said, basically, our minds were designed to work at 3 miles an hour. We came onto this earth to move through that landscape, and our minds work at about that pace. And although we've added all this technology, our minds can still function better at that sort of speed. So certainly for me, in that calming down process, what that did, I found, I had a personal breakdown along the way, which I didn't understand. I mean, literally it was one morning when I went to get up out of bed. We'd just finished a particularly arduous section of the walk, and I suddenly found myself sobbing, couldn't stop myself. And I had Debbie there going, what on earth is wrong with you? And I just shaking the head. I said, I have no idea, but I can't stop this. And I, you know, thought about that a lot, and I realized it was connected to grief and concern around when my first wife had passed away after a long illness with breast cancer. And I had found Debbie, a new wife, literally within less than 2 months. We started a relationship. We got married about a year later, but that brought tremendous strain on my sons, who were teenagers, and suddenly they found themselves losing their mother, having a stepmother arrive on the scene, having three steps siblings arrive. It was very, very tough on them. That's what the walk brought up for me.
So your brain had time to really process stuff that had been left behind and should have been dealt with. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I realised late in the piece, as we walked around the cliffs down in Cornwall, that I could just see that going up and down these cliffs, which is all you do when you're walking a coastal path in down that part of the world, we have that same sort of emotional landscape within us, but we don't recognize it. These little things that happen to us in our lives, they all leave marks, like these little streams that wear their way through cliffs. And I think that really came home to me.
Now, you came back to Australia and your life changed extraordinarily, so that walk had an enormous effect on you. Can you describe that moment when you realized that you'd kind of outwalked your old way of life?
Yeah, it was very powerful, and it was a very specific incident. The day after we arrived back in Australia, went to sleep the first night, got up in the morning, opened the wardrobe door, and literally physically fell backwards onto the bed looking at all these clothes. And at that moment, I realized that having walked for the best part of 5 months with a backpack, with a couple of changes of clothes, that I'd had everything I needed with me. And now I have this big wardrobe full of clothes, all these polo shirts and T-shirts and shorts and trousers. And I realised I had been spending part of my life was focused on earning money to fill this wardrobe with stuff that I really didn't need. You know, we can live wonderful lives with a lot less money that we continually strive for to follow this materialistic consumer society, which is doing great damage to the environment as well. So then it was about what do you do with that? You change the way you live. And in my case, I'm very fortunate. I've been able to help found an organisation, the Rescope Project, to help bring those stories to people and to talk about ways of living more in harmony with the environment and, in fact, in ways that offer more meaning.
Keith Badger, his book, Joining Loose Ends, published by Rescope, details of that and his Rescope project on The Wire's website. And that report was brought to you by Annie Haswell.